All right, here he is, our Denver 7 insider, Colorado Sportscaster of the Year, Troy Rank, presented by ROX, Rocks Heating and Air. Good morning, Troy.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing great. Any news on any update on Drew Lock and the severely bruised ribs? And should we expect him to play, or might he miss time?
Yeah, I think it's a bit of a long shot at this point. I don't expect him to practice today. If he does, he would be likely limited. He's got an oblique injury and the bruised ribs. There's talk he might have got it on the quarterback sneak. I mean, he got crushed by Arden Key. He got floored by Pharrell in two huge hits in that game. And he looked a little like he was seeing some ghosts after that. And that would be my issue, Mark. He's had interceptions in five straight games. He's coming off his worst game. If he can't practice this week, I just don't think it's fair to the team or Drew Lock to play him right now. I mean, it's not like a guy who's, you know, Ben Roethlisberger, the breezes of the world who don't need practice. He needs practice. He's coming off a bad game. He hasn't played particularly well the last few weeks. And to force him out there if he's compromised, I just don't think that's a good decision. And you can, and so people say, what if Rippon plays well? Does he keep the job? If he plays well and they win, you give Rippon another game. I mean, you're going to have a few games left to give Lock. And I mean, let's be honest. Are there enough games left in the season? Let's say he only plays six, that he's going to change the opinion that they're not going to at least bring in competition for him. Maybe a true veteran to start. Maybe they try to trade for Sam Darnold or find someone in the draft. I don't think he can do enough, frankly, at this point in the final six or seven games to say that they're going to just completely commit to him. So just make sure he's healthy. And when he goes back out there, whether that's next week or in a couple weeks, that he's got a chance to get some rhythm and get some traction.
Is this like baseball? You covered baseball forever. Is this almost like the struggling pitcher who you use, oh, he's got a bit of an elbow or some shoulder tightness. We're going to put him on a bit of a, you know, rehab or DL just to basically send him down or get him out of the rotation to give him a mental health break. But you use the injury kind of as a cover.
Right. I mean, there's some of that. I mean, I would say it's more like, I remember when Ubaldo Jimenez was coming off of his amazing year and then he didn't get a contract extension and he started the season 0-5 and the team kept saying they were contenders. And you're like, you can't be a contender when your ace can't beat the Pirates on a Sunday afternoon at home. Like, he's winless and you're approaching June. You're not a contender when your ace can't beat anybody. So that's more like the ace of the staff, not just rando starter. But yeah, it's similar to that, to where, like, you need a mental break to clear your head and get right. And Mark knows, I mean, the NFL at that position, it's hard enough to play quarterback. It's hard to play it when you're struggling, and it's even harder to play when you're struggling, you're losing, and you're not healthy. I just don't think, if he's not able to practice, that's what I'm saying. If he's not able to practice, I don't think it's fair to put him out there. If he's limited today and he has a full practice Thursday, goes through walkthrough on Friday, that's fine. I mean, if they determine that he's showing enough in practice, but if he's not, which I don't expect him to do much today, I don't think it's fair to throw him out there against the Dolphins and take that. It's not fair to the team, you know, that just run him out there. If you want to keep running him out there the last four games to see what you have, and you're at that point you're 3-8 or 3-9, whatever. I mean, what does it matter at that point? But this week specifically, I don't think he should play if he's not able to practice.
So Mike was breaking down the numbers. 40-plus pass attempts over the last, what, four games, Mike? Something like that for Drew Lock, for a young quarterback like that, which is, you know, tremendously stupid. Is Vic Fangio capable of being a head coach in this league?
Again, there's times I think he is. There's times the nuances of the job seem to escape him. Like, that it's ultimately at his desk that these decisions stop. I mean, you throw 25 times against the Raiders in the first half. I mean, is that a recipe to win on the road? I mean, I guess if you say if he completes the one pass to Judy at the end zone and they're up 13-10 at half, but at that point you're at 26 passes. I mean, are you really going to win throwing 52 passes on the road with a guy making his 12th start? I just don't understand the math of that. But the problem they run into, Mark, is it's in hindsight to look at the numbers and go, they're passing too much, which clearly they are. They have no offensive identity. This is the thing we've talked about for years. What do they hang their hat on? They rank like 19th in rushing. I mean, that's what you hang your hat on offensively. And so because of that, that you abandon the run game, you panic, and then you end up looking for deep strikes. It just falls into this pattern of first down, 0 yards, negative yards, second and, you know, second and 10, third and 7. And now here we go. Passes right down the middle of the field that require decent protection and, you know, amazing execution. That's the thing that surprises me is why if I'm on Fangio, I go, if we're like, if we're going to rely on the pass, which I'm not great and comfortable with right now, why aren't we doing slants and screens and bubble screens? Why does everything have to be a strike down the field for a guy? You're asking him to thread the needle when it's, to me, it's like, can we make this easier for him then? He's a young kid struggling, and we're asking him to go up and hit home runs. Can he just bunt once in a while? Can he hit a single to the right side and keep the chains moving? I mean, that's where I see it.
Visitor Troy Rank, you brought this stat up. It's, what, the first time in Broncos history or the first time since, like, the 60s that they've given up 30-plus points in four straight games?
Since 1968, it's the first time. That was the end of the 1968 season, the first time they've allowed at least 30 points in four straight games.
Is Fangio's defense getting a pass in all this?
And a couple of games because of the turnovers, Raiders and Chiefs. I mean, the defense gets compromised. Now, again, last year when they turned the ball over, and it wasn't at this propensity, the one thing they did last year was protect the football way better. I think they're last in football now in turnovers at 21, if memory serves. And so that has compromised the defense. That's a fair discussion to say. Their defense hasn't been great these last 4 weeks, but when the other team's getting the ball, you know, at the 30-yard line, you know, three or four times a game, that's a problem. But the problem I had was Atlanta and no Devontae Bosby being available because it was told to me that, you know, you needed Devontae Harris for special teams. Well, if Tom McMahon is making roster decisions, that's a problem. His special teams are terrible. I mean, I don't know how else to argue that they're passable. Other than the Titans and the Chargers, are there consistently worse special teams this year? So I don't care what my special teams coach thinks about. If I have a guy who can cover, I want him on the team. Now, we don't see practice and we're not in the locker room, so maybe there were issues there that I don't know about, but I'm not letting a cover guy go to keep a special teams guy. That just, to me, it doesn't make sense when you balance the roster that way. And then they get smoked by Atlanta, and then Ojemudia gets benched, and you had no Bosby, and now Devontae Harris gets cut. I'm just like, wait, what? It's just confusing at times. I'm not going to lie. It just seems confusing. But is the defense getting a pass? Sometimes because of the 21 turnovers, they are. But they've had real issues. They lost the Falcons game by, you know, not even putting up a fight in the first half of that game.
What was the story with Ojemudia? Like, why is he not playing anymore? Like, I thought he was, for a rookie, I thought he was playing pretty well.
Missed tackles. He missed probably, you know, depends on how you categorize a missed tackle in this league. But he probably had, you know, upwards of close to 5-6 tackles over the course of 2 weeks. And so he gets benched. And you play a song Bassey this is the way it sets up is with Callahan and Boye healthy, they're the outside guys. Bassey's been playing more nickel. Ojemudia is not really their nickel guy. So once Callahan and Boye are both healthy, it kind of forced Ojemudia to the bench. It's just hard for me to believe that in nickel, based on how Ojemudia is covered, that you can't find some snaps for him. He literally didn't play a snap against the Raiders. And Bassey played. Now, Bassey can tackle, but he has certainly not draped himself in glory in coverage. So, I understand Vic prides himself on wanting corners who can tackle, but did it warrant playing zero snaps for Ojemudia? That's part of the problem of us not being in the locker room and getting a better feel for this. Maybe there was some issues in practice that said, hey, we're going to just let the kid clear his head and send the message, you know, we need better. Because I agree with you. He's been good as a rookie.
Hey, let me ask you real quick. Because Mike was asking me this yesterday. If the trend continues and they continue to play the way they've played, and let's say they end this season with 4 or 5 wins, do you go with the Breidich theory of hold, 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 or do you blow this whole thing up?
Yeah, I was asked that what the number would be. Now, if they lose out, all bets are off. If they end up with 4 wins, I mean, it creates a conversation where you look and say maybe it's time to start over. I mean, the problem you run into, and it was brought up on the afternoon show, and it's a fair point, is Joe Ellis going to try to fire John Elway? I mean, I don't know that. The only time that it would be similar in this organization is when Mike Shanahan was let go. And Frank, you know, and coincidentally enough, it was after, if I remember, like five straight years with no playoffs. Now, every year, it seemed like they had a chance to make the playoffs during that time, but they didn't. And so, you know, Mike Shanahan can be let go. Frankly, anyone can be let go, given his legacy with this organization. But that was when you had a true owner still in Pat Bowlen, even if he wasn't, you know, operating the day-to-day as he used to, he was still the owner. But if you lose out, is that time to say, you know what, sweeping changes across the board? My inclination has been this year is that once they hit the injuries, that they're going to finish somewhere around, you know, 5 to 7 wins. I'm not sure. 7 seems ambitious now. And then you would give Vic Fangio and John Elway one more year and then go from there, the way their contracts are structured. You know, are they really going to want to, with not knowing what revenue is going to look like next year in attendance and all those issues, are they going to blow out the GM and a coaching staff? I've thought all along that's unlikely. But if they were to lose out or finish with one more win, I mean, I just can't believe you could just dismiss it anymore. I never say never. I still think it's unlikely, but I just, the way they're playing now, I don't think you can look at their schedule and say, oh yeah, there's 3 more wins.
All right, Troy. Great stuff as always. Thank you.
Yep. See ya.
Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Insider, presented by ROX, Rocks Heating and Air.